March 9th, 1976. We were both victims of the great comb mystery. Where do all the combs go? I must have owned 20,000 combs in my time, and they all disappeared. Why doesn't science do something about that? The problem of a disappearing comb. I've never thrown a comb away or given one away. They just go. Yeah, that's... How many combs do you think you bought in your time? Have you ever thrown one away? No. Have you ever said, I don't want that comb no more? Thrown out, no. How many do you own right now that you can actually get your hand on? Maybe two, three. About five. Well, you're five ahead of most of us. Because you lead an extremely organized life, Joe. Very, very organized. How many combs have you bought in your life? Five. No, don't tell me. Don't tell me you walk around and find them. I see. You're one of the comb bloodsuckers. Well, there are those too. The great mysteries. Speaking of mysteries. Now wait a minute. Now every day, every time I pick up the Times, or the News, or the Post, or anything, there's always the report on page three of a new poll. You know, it says poll shows president lags in and then dot dot dot. 15%, 22.9%, and all that. Now, this to me is one of the great mysteries. I have never even met anybody who's been called. And one of the really major polls, you know, I've often been called where the voice is saying, hello? And I say, yes.
Are you interested in dancing?
I say, what?
You have won a free samba lesson at the International Association of Free Samba Lesson Dancers. Now, if you won't...
Oh, for God's sakes. You hang up like that. You, have you ever had that happen to you? All right. I had one call the other day. It says, hello? And I says, yes, hello?
This is the International Association of Oil Speculators. We understand that you have some extra money that you wish to invest in Greenland oil.
I says, what? And I hung up, you know. So they I get called by that, but I have never yet once been called. I'd love to, you know, just once be called, hello? And I'd say, yes.
This is the International Bullard Poll Corporation calling, and we would like to know how you believe that the president is doing his job. Are you satisfied or are you not satisfied with how the president is doing his job?
Well, let's see now how the president is doing his job. Now, it depends on how you define his job. Now, there are times when his job seems to be running around and hollering and hiding in the bushes and trying to get away from Walter Cronkite. On the other hand, it seems to me his job seems to be to send Mr. Kissinger to Yugoslavia. Now, he does that very well. So I don't know. I mean, you know how he's doing his job. Are you asking me, do I like the president, or is he doing his job well?
Well, to most Americans, that seems to be the same thing.
No. Wait a minute now. I know a lot of guys around here at my very outfit that I can't stand the sight of them, but they do their job good. Now, if you're asking me whether I like those guys, I'll tell you. Or whether they're doing their job's another thing.
Well, I believe you're confusing the issue. This is the International Bullard International Important Poll Corporation, and we do not like to confuse issues. Now, we would like to ask you another question, sir, since we will now put you down as undecided on that previous question. Is that all right with you?
Well, now, wait a minute. I'm not necessarily undecided. What I say here is that I think if the president's job is defined as sending Kissinger around the world and talking to guys in Yugoslavia, he's doing great at that. I mean, he's doing really great. I mean, Kissinger's going around, he's getting on the TV and all that. Now, if you're asking me whether he gives good speeches, now, I'd have to say no. He fluffs a lot, and he doesn't read his lines very good. But on the other hand, he has a rather decent portrait he sits for. Now, that's also part of the president's job, I suspect. I mean, if you had a guy, you know, that showed up for his portrait and he wore this, he wore this crummy-looking suit and he wore a, a burlap shirt and all that stuff.
Mr. Shepard, we're not necessarily interested in whether or not you believe the president dresses well.
But don't you think that's part of his job? I mean, after all, the president has to give a public appearance to people. And while he doesn't dress according to my taste, nevertheless, he does dress quite well, considering the fact that he's got a kind of a dignified job. And
Mr. Shepard, we're asking you whether or not you believe that the president doing his job to your satisfaction.
Oh, well, now you've come down to it. To my satisfaction. Well, there has never been any president that's done his job to my satisfaction. And I feel that...
Mr. Shepard, would you please tell us what your satisfaction... For my own information here, now, it's not in the poll. What would your satisfaction be?
Well, that's a good question. I come to think of it, I hadn't even really thought about it that much, but I think I'd kind of like to get a call from the president once in a while, you know? The president's always calling up guys that run football teams, and he's calling up guys that jump over sticks and all that kind of stuff, and the winds, what do they call it, the high hurdles and all that stuff. I would just like to, one day after I finished a good show, I'd like to have the president call me up and, say, you stick in there. It's a good show you done. It was real good, especially I like that joke there about Kissinger. It was real good. I just like that. Now, if you're asking me, I'd like that. Now, no president's ever done this. So honestly, I can say that no president has really performed to my satisfaction. Another thing, too, I tell you, as long as you're bringing up the president and the satisfaction, I think that presidents, in general, have not made my life easy enough. Now, for example, the president is always throwing big dinners at the White House. I've never been invited. Now, I'm sure that I'm paying this. I'm a taxpayer. I've never been invited. Now, I think a president would really... You're asking me a question. My satisfaction. And it's my... I'd love to be invited.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. Shepard. It's been a very interesting discussion with you. Oh, by the way, we have one other question we'd like to ask you. Do you mind answering another question?
No. Your first pollster that's ever called me. I'm glad to answer any question. I'll spend all night here talking to you if you like to. I never get asked any of this stuff.
Well, Mr. Shepard, now, this is another poll we have. We'd like to ask you this question. What tune were you whistling just before the telephone rang, please?
Excuse me, what was that question? Did you say what? What was that question? Would you repeat that question again?
What tune were you whistling before the telephone rang?
Oh. What's it got to do with the president?
Oh, nothing. We're also conducting a poll for the music industry.
Oh, I see. Well, what tune was I whistling? Well, gee, that's interesting. Let's see. I was in the gym. The phone rang. I came out, and I thought it was the door. I don't want to... Well, actually, I wasn't whistling at all. I was just sort of walking around, and I really wasn't whistling, to be honest with you.
Oh, well, that's very... Well, that leads to the next question. How long were you not whistling prior to the phone ringing? How long were you not whistling? In other words, when were you last whistling and how long ago was that?
Oh, I see. Oh, well, let's see. Yeah, down in the basement. Yeah. Oh, no. It was yesterday. I'll tell you, I was out in the garage. Yesterday afternoon, I was out in the garage, and I was whistling. Yeah, I remember, I was whistling. Yeah. I was out in the garage. I would say it's about the 15, 16 hours ago. I didn't whistle since that time.
Oh, very good. Now, would you please tell us what tune you were whistling at that time?
What tune? Let's see. Oh, yeah, I got it. That's what I was whistling. I was whistling that yesterday at about 3:30 in the garage.
Well, is that a tune, please, Mr. Shepherd?
No, it's just what I whistle. You asked me what I was whistling. That's not a real tune, I suppose. I always whistle that. I go...
Well, then I could put it down that you compose the music that you whistle. That is a composition of your own. Is that correct?
Yes, I guess you'd say that I did. I composed that. I don't know why it is. Ever since I was a kid, I was always going... I often do that when I'm just sitting around, not thinking anything. I just go... Sometimes it gets on people's nerves, too. I've heard people say, "We've cut out the whistling." I go...
Well, then, Mr. Shepard, thank you very much. That concludes the Bullard International Poll. We want to thank you for your very, very nice cooperation. And we will put you down then as a composer who whistles his own tunes. You will go on our poll under that classification. Of course, that's an unusual classification. But the Hauler wished to take advantage of all the various percentiles that occur in the broad spectrum of the American population. Thank you very much.
Don't you know the Marlboro theme? Come on. It was almost like bum ba dum bum, you know. And it came on ba 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 da 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 da. No, that was, I'm just saying, similar to that. I'm just giving you a clue. Da 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 da. And then so you saw up there against the horizon, you see this heroic guy puffing frantically on three cigarettes. You wonder why he was so damn nervous, you know, being out there in the wide open spaces. You remember that guy sitting on that quarter horse? Ba ba da 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 da. And the voice would come on and say, "Somewhere out there in Marlboro country, where the wind blows hard and high, the Marlboro man rides a lone trail." you've seen that, haven't you? Oh, yeah. I miss those old Marlboro commercials, yeah. I also miss the White Tornado. I used to like that. Remember the guy? White Tornado! Remember that? They run down the street and the White Tornado comes in the window. All right. Yeah, a little thing. He went down into this can. This girl didn't look excited. She just said, "Oh, it's a White Tornado." And the clowns, for some curious reason, clowns would come running into her room. Remember that? Yeah, there were clowns. Yeah, all kinds of guys dressed as cowboys, clowns. Well, don't you remember the White Knight? Yeah, he's galloping through the town with his lance, cleaning up people's bibs. Because this is all, there's a... It's all part of our town. This is certainly not nostalgia. This is just a recounting of the wonders of the 20th century, of which we've all lived through. I've several others I miss. What are some of the ones you miss? Come on, you'd love to see again. Yeah, how about the heart-shaped meatloaf? No, you got tired of that. They played that till funny, that wasn't funny anymore. Till funny at that point. You were beginning to have the same problems that the heart-shaped meatloaf gave other guys. You were going, oop, every time it came on, Right? Yeah. What? The guy that did what? He drank what? He drank Texaco? I see. Well, Joe is not my best pantomimist around here. Would you please tell me what that was, Jerry, so I can get that one? It's his favorite commercial. I want to see what the Vox Populi has to say. Yes. Alka-Seltzer. Oh, you like the ones with the stomachs jiggling up and down? You identified with that, huh? I see. I see, especially the guy that was running the electric hammer. He was going, and you say, "Oh, yeah, must be jelly, because jam don't shake like that." right. That was not a bad commercial. I think the ones I really miss, though, are ones which, sure, don't you remember the little guy that that used to run around, the little guy that was made out of cake dough, Pillsbury, and they'd stick their finger in the stomach and go, "Ah!" Remember that? Remember that little guy? and you'd break open the can of biscuits, and he would come hopping out. You know, I saw that happen the other day. A lady dropped a, over there in the A&P, and this little guy came running out, running all over the floor. It was terrible. I'll tell you, one of the things I like, have you seen the commercial now where those little round things with brushes on the bottom go around scrubbing up stuff? Listen, I'll tell you, I bought a can of that stuff, and you can't get rid of them damn things. They've been running all over. There's a whole bunch of them now, and you know, they breed like crazy. There was a whole bunch of them under the day bed, and, God, they're flying all over the place with those little brushes. I mean, they're worse than cockroaches. I mean, you've seen them. Well, you know, a lot of people, you ought to try that stuff, that product. It's great. How about the cookies that are made by the little elf people? Do you like that one? Oh, you haven't seen that one. Well, there's a great commercial that's currently running. I enjoy this one. It shows a tree. You know, there's a tree there. And you hear this music. And our little doors open, and there's a cartoon. See, little doors open, and you see these little elves looking out, see? And they're throwing these cookies out. And standing outside is a country yokel type. And he's standing, he says, he picks up on these cookies, see? And at that, this little elf says, "Well, these are bullard cookies made by elf." And he looks at the cookie, and he says, I don't believe in no elf people. These ain't elves. I don't believe in elves." He says, "Well, they are. They're made by elves, and they're wonderful little cookies. Give them a try." And he takes the cookie and bites it. "Oh, hey, say, they're real good cookies. Now, you damn near made a believer out of me. I don't believe in elves, but I'll tell you what, little factory people, that's what you are. Little factory people, you make a good cookie."
"Thank you."
Well, I'm sorry. I like that kind of stuff, too. You know, well, I've got the mind of a, you know, I'm the kind of guy who thinks Snoopy isn't deep. And you know how terrible it is. When you start suspecting that there is no hidden message in the comic strips, then you're already on their way down, right? Hidden messages. I enjoy that one. Do you want to hear another commercial I like? I got all my little favorites here. Did you ever see the one where the Spitfire is standing on the field, the Spitfire airplane? Oh, it's a beautiful commercial. And the Spitfire starts to take on. He guns that great big Merlin engine. Oh, wow. And he goes roaring down that field, and you see next to him this Triumph Spitfire. And they're going along, they're going neck and neck. And then the Spitfire airplane, it's all done in beautiful hazy color. And the Spitfire airplane goes off into the dawn. Yeah. You ever seen that one? Well, I don't know. That's because you watch wrestling too much, Joe. You don't, huh? You sit down and what the hell do you watch? You live up there in Connecticut where they got that special... Yes. You live up there in Connecticut. Did you know that there are certain spots in Connecticut, that for those of you who feel benighted, but things are spreading out. It'll get to your neighborhood very soon. Do you know that they have closed-circuit pointy television up in Connecticut? And you can subscribe to it. Yes, they do. Well, what do you mean, shame? You're saying they don't have it up there? Oh, well, no. Wait a minute. Let's put it this way. They have X-rated erotic film. That's a very different thing. I'm sorry. Oh, I'm sorry. You know, it's the head again. The head. You've got to watch out for your head. You really do. you just got to keep a tight rein on it. Who else do you miss? Oh, those great characters out of the past. Mr. Glad, yeah, he's a goodie. Right. Where's some of the others? Come on. Now, I can think of 100 of them. Why? Maybe it's because I'm very conscious of commercials, because I do a lot of them. Huh? Joe, I can see why you don't have a contract doing commercials. It looks to me like you're doing a commercial for some outfit that makes canoes and paddles. Canoes. I'm getting close. You're talking about Eric? Do you remember Eric? He used to come sailing up the Hudson River. Is that one of your favorite guys, huh? Yeah, well, he was always good. Yeah, Eric had come sailing up the Hudson River there with that blonde. Another great idea from Sweden. That's right, Sweden, yeah. Curiously enough, they weren't made in Sweden, you know. It was just an idea from Sweden, that's all. Da-da-da-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee. All right. Who else do you miss? Come on, you must have other people. Oh, well, no, he's a real man. I'm talking about a classical character that, like the Marlboro Man. You don't know who that guy was. He's just the Marlboro Man. All of us, each one of us deep in our heart, Mrs. Rex Marshall. You know, used to come out and say, this is Rex Marshall for, yeah. But I'm talking about great cartoon. All right, don't you remember Speedy? Who was Speedy? Don't you remember Speedy? Who did Speedy represent? Speedy was a little character, remember? He was a little white cartoon character. He'd run around like crazy. Speedy. You don't remember him? Well, who was he Speedy for? That's right, Speedy Alka-Seltzer. Don't you remember him? All right, I'll ask you another question. Who had a parrot that used to fly around? And as he flew around, he would trail smoke, and he would make things. Disappeared mostly on sports. He would make rings and stuff. And then his theme song was da 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 la da 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 la da 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 da. Who was that? What product did he represent? Valentine. Oh my God! You would fail every night. Da 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 la da 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 la da da. That's right. You got it. I knew you'd get it after Jerry told it to you. Yes, of course. And the voice would say, another in the great circle of fights. You remember the voice would say, and now another event in the great circle of fights brought to you by Gillette. Now, if you're going to ask about great commercial characters out of the past, who used to appear, listen carefully, who used to appear in the Wednesday night fights between rounds, and he was standing behind a bar, and he was serving the beer that sponsored the Wednesday night fights, and he would do a commercial about them, and they were done live. Who was that? Who were the bill town? He was Blank the bartender. Now come on, you guys. Now come on. He was called. He just simply said. Certainly a great fight here tonight, and there'd be a couple of guys would come in. He says, yes, we're serving that old Pabst Blue Ribbon here tonight, and this is Bill the bartender, inviting all of you to have another glass of that rich, you remember? You don't remember Bill the bartender? You remember that? Well, it was an announcer named Bill Nimmo, and he was called Bill the bartender. All right, I'll ask you another one. During the early days, hey, now listen to this one. During the early days of a famed athletic aggregation in this city, the commercials between when they were taking a little rest, between what was it? I won't even tell you what it was. Between quarters, between halves, between sets, between innings, whatever it was, they would take a rest and they would switch to a mythical place. What was it called? And they were done live, and there was an actor who was like the host there. What was it? These were commercials. And what was the name of the aggregation, which incidentally is still in business and is very popular in New York? Come on. You mean to tell me none of you remember the famous Rheingold Rest? And Leon Janney would be back there selling Rheingold, don't you? And he had this, it was like a mythical bar. And you'd see all these guys sitting around there between innings, and they'd be talking about the game. One of them would be looking up at the television and say, holy smokes, what an inning. Wow, did you see what the marvelous Marv did that time? Yeah, they were actually referring to the ball. You say, oh, Lord, boy, that guy's got a glove made out of lead. And at that point, Leon Janney said, well, hello, folks. Welcome to the Rheingold Rest here between innings. And we'd like to have you try a little of this deep, rich. You don't even remember that. I'm amazed. He was on there for years. And that's, of course, all right. So in fact, the Rheingold Rest got to be so popular that people thought it was a real place. And when they would come out to the ballpark, they would all look for this place. They thought they could go there between innings. It was called the Rheingold Rest. Sure, and the actor was named Leon Janney, who was a New York actor, done a lot of stuff here in town, and he was the host, and he always wore this apron, and he'd come on, he's got this crinkly hair, you know, he'd come on, and he said, welcome to the Rheingold Rest. He said, boy, that was certainly an exciting inning. Well, it's time for a glass of rich, delicious, satisfying Rheingold, and now, here, I'd like to draw one for you. And he goes, shh, and he hands it out like he's giving it to you, you know, like you're right, and he puts it across the thing, and then he switches to the other guys there. Do you remember that? Well, I'll tell you, one of my favorite commercials currently today, talk about the really great technical virtuosity type things in commercial world. Have you ever seen the one that the beer company has? And I'm going to give you a clue. They should show you the kind of artistry that some of these commercials have, and they do have them. Which beer company has the one where the little guy, it's a little head of a man, who, it's just a head, it's like a toy head of a man, and it's got wheels on it, and it wheels around, and the head opens up, and there's a little band playing. And then they go, ta 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 ta. And the little guy hits the thing, ta 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 ta. Now, that's a really clever commercial. I'd like to. Wouldn't you love to have that little man, and you'd wind it up and send it across your floor, and it's playing? Oh, no. To me, commercials who, the one that says take it off, yeah. But she never became a real character. Not really. It was just an erotic type commercial. But the real. Do you remember the one where the guy sang? Which do you recall it? The scene in the locker room, where you saw all these guys wearing their green suits, and you see this rookie coming in. And all of a sudden, all right, rookie, come on. Come on, rookie. Get up on a chair there and sing. And he goes, Schaefer is the one beer to have when you're having more than one. Little echo chamber, Joe. That means echo. Schaefer. Oh, my God. I said a little echo. Schaefer is the one beer to have when you're having more than one. La da da dee dee dee, la da da dee, la da 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 dee dee dee. Schaefer is the one beer to have when you're having more than one. And they all sat around and cried. That was real nice, kid. Did you see that one? I miss that old gang around the locker room. You know, they'll be back, no doubt, next season. But you had this feeling, you know. Did you see the one where the two guys are driving their beer truck? Well, you know, these are all New York-type commercials. You probably don't even see them out in the rest of the country. But, did you see the one where the two guys are driving their beer truck and they're going up to the mountains to deliver the first load of beer to this town that apparently gets snowbound every year? You see that one? And he's driving along, and he says, I'll tell you what, kid. He says, this is the biggest tournament in life. It's the first shipment of beer after the winter. And they really celebrate. He says, you got to get ready. And he says, play it cool. Just watch like I do it. And they come in town, and the bands are playing. And there's a beautiful girl who kisses the beer guy. You didn't see that one. Well, of course, that's what happens when you watch too much that low-life television down there. No, it's my fault. That's true. You spend all of your time watching the Boston Pops on Channel 13, I know. No, I'm just telling you what I see. I don't make it up. I did not make up the Marlboro Man. I did not. No, I don't know what you mean. No, there's no point in trying to insult me. It won't do you no good. Listen, ever since I had a date with the lady plumber, man, there ain't nothing you can tell me. And you know that, we went to Cheerios, and you know she wears that white overalls all the time? Yeah, she walks around, and the poor waiter comes over, and she says, have you tried New Comet? The poor guy, you know, was so embarrassed, he has, you know, but you get used to these things. She went in the back there, you know, in the men's room, and took care of a lot of plumbing problems they had there. But would you please bring up some music? Well, we get driven entirely out of beyond the pale here. You can just see why Shepherd is not popular on this thing. I have been called by a recent critic who described this show. He says, Shepherd is life's answer to Johnny Carson.
Put that in your ear, Johnny. Try that on your fancy jacket.
My name is Judge Uncle.